Blog Talk Radio.
Because we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Bal Red Radio. My name is Matt Weston, and tonight I'm joined by the biggest, fattest, and drunkest one of them all, BFD. Hey, man, how's it going?
Hey, good. And we'll be to the drunk part in the second half of the show, I promise.
Well, good, good. Did you have a merry, merry Christmas or a merry, merry, merry Christmas this year?
Oh, my Christmas sucked this year. That's all there is to it. Not enough about me. How was your Christmas?
Yeah. Oh, it was fine. You know, I kind of messed myself up because I didn't eat very well Sunday morning. I ate some pastries and coffee and felt bad for a few hours and slept and felt okay and watched this great football team and watched some condensed games and all that. But the whole weekend was a good time being with my brother and friends and, you know, that whole sort of thing.
That's cool. Yeah, the only thing I did that was fun is I made boneless prime rib wrapped in butter and bacon.
Damn.
That was pretty killer. Yeah. Pretty
yeah,
nice.
It sounds awesome. Yeah, I got an Instapot for Christmas. I'm going to be cooking in like 7 minutes, and I'll need some prime rib recipes and stuff here pretty soon. Once I get tired of eating beans every day, you know.
No, you could do so much with beans. But let me know how you like it, because I've been thinking about getting one, but Mrs. BFD isn't for it.
All right, yeah, I will do. I'll see you pictures every day. Make her jealous, you know. Well, did you know this game, why this entire Texans season has gone just expected since Watson went down, the Texans being really bad?
And it's even amazing how bad they are. I mean, we knew they weren't going to be a good team with so many injuries, but they're just so predictably bad at this point in time. And, you know, the game, I don't even remember the score. It was whatever, 7 was the final score. 34-6, that's right, yesterday. It's just such a bad team in every phase of the game, and it's not all because of injuries. They're just predictably bad. 34-6, the game wasn't that close. It's just like the week before was 45-7 Jaguars. It just really wasn't that close. We were never in the game. We never had even a hope. So it's a bad football team led by a bad coaching staff and headed by a bad front office.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Bad football team led by bad coaching staff, a somewhat bad roster, plays bad football game in a very bad season.
Yep, I think that's it. I mean, you know, you can say what you will about Bill O'Brien, but even if you look at Mike Vrabel, that defense was trash at the beginning of the season, and they're trash now. So there's hard to have a lot of optimism at this point in the season anyway, when you're heading to probably a 4-12 end. But to be so ugly at the same time, this season to me is worse than 2-14 season.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess like the thing about this year compared to 13 was that 13, like, you know, it was just a team that we were slowly realizing was really bad. And this year there was that weird, you know, like 6 months where we found the gospel with Watson, and then once he was injured and the other injuries, you know, there was no chance at all for this season. So, but there was like the idea and the possibility of what like watching a team with a good passing offense was, and 13 was just all, you know, pretty bad the entire time. It just took us some time for the mask to be ripped off the face.
Yeah. But I just have more, even with Deshaun Watson, I just had more optimism coming off 2013 that the team wasn't going to be that bad.
Yeah.
Like going into 2014, you know, there was a lot of bad luck, a lot of that sort of thing. Yes, we've had a lot of bad luck this year. Yes, we're getting back to Deshaun Watson, but we've had so many guys now. If you just look at the defense, Brian Cushing, Kareem Jackson, Jonathan Joseph, J.J. Watt, all those guys are now on the wrong side of their careers. And that's four key star elements from the 2013-2014 team, and they're just not going to be the same anymore. So if you look at the defense alone, there's less to be enthusiastic about. And in 2014, you still had a really pretty solid offensive line coming back. You look at this offensive line, and it's straight trash. So, you know, Nick Martin had yet another ankle surgery. And so, you know, it's time to start, you know, is Nick Martin going to be okay? And the fact is, Nick Martin was not great this year. He was solid, but he was not great. Yes, he's still got some upside. No way I'm giving up on him. But this offensive line's not good. So there was just more optimism coming off that 2013 disaster.
Yeah, and that's a really great point. I really didn't think of it like that because you're all right. Like, there's a lot of holes in this roster without the draft capital, and you have, you know, free agent cap space. So there's a lot of teams with free agent cap space. So you're going to have to be paying a lot of money to fight over players. And, you know, free agency isn't the most efficient way to, you know, use your resources to build a team in a lot of ways. And, you know, you talk about offensive line, you talk about the secondary especially. You talk about, you know, the I guess linebacker course should be okay. But, I mean, you have to rebuild the entire offensive line and the entire secondary and probably add one more pass rusher. And to do that in one offseason with limited amount of draft capital is going to be really hard to do. And the Texans are going to have to hit on that second-round pick they trade up for. And, you know, 13, we talked about it a lot. You know, I wrote about a lot that 14 wasn't going to be that bad, that this team could compete right away if they, you know, upgrade the quarterback position. And, you know, they should – they probably get a better head coaching by default. And that's what happened, but they didn't really get a quarterback at all and kind of, you know, pissed down the two seasons after that and took a shot to Oswald and that didn't work out. And then next year you have the quarterback, but you have all these old guys and, you know, you already have a team with injury problems and you have two entire groups you have to rebuild. And, you know, I don't think it's a shoe-in. This team's going to be, you know, great next year, but they should be good as long as Watson, you know, plays as well as he does. But even then, you know, that was that could have been flying really close to the sun and it was only, you know, six games or so. And two of those games, they got beat up pretty good early on. So I don't know. It's a weird time. It's a weird time right now.
Yeah, agreed. So, I don't know. I guess that's enough about that. It's just so different. It just really is. It strikes me how different it is, even with this, you know, Watson at quarterback. You know, it was a lot better, you know, it was a lot worse of a feeling going into 2014 with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but the rest of the roster was solid. I mean, that was a legit 9-7 team. This, you know, you look at the team next year, you go, wait, is this really a legit 9-17? Are they going to have to, is the offense just 100% reliant upon two guys? And the answer right now is yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, also, like, you know, that the offense with Watson and, you know, if Hopkins is healthy, it just creates a lot of opportunities for guys like, you know, Ellington and Fuller. And, you know, Miller had a better time, you know, running based on all that play action and mal play fakes they had. And Watson's running ability made the running game so much better, too. So, I mean, it makes the entire offense, like, systematically better. And offensive line isn't as important with a quarterback like Watson compared to a quarterback with Savage. But, you know, you still need some level of competency there. And, you know, as of right now, like, we can talk about the offensive line. At center, you know, Nick Martin's having ankle surgery. And so you assume he's going to start there. But Suafio's in the last year of his contract. He probably will go somewhere else. You have Julian Davenport, left tackle. Maybe you have Jeff Allen, you know, and him could maybe have a preseason training camp battle, but you can cut Jeff Allen, save $6 million or so. You maybe move Derek Newton to right guard, but who knows if he can play. And you also cut him and save $5 million. You have Manx, who can play center or guard, but you know, Manx is more of an outside zone blocking guard and be better for playing center, but you have Nick Martin there. And then right tackle, you have Giacomini play the entire year, and he's absolutely terrible. So, I mean, you may have only one spot at the center position. So what are your thoughts about the offensive line next year? How many players from this current Texans roster think you're going to be starting on this team next season?
I think that you're looking at the starters. There's nothing in free agency. I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit last week, and I'll pull up this. But there's nothing available in free agency. It is just an absolute free. Yes, I'm Googling it. If I could spell
it
faster.
Yeah, I mean, really you have to hope is that guys get cut like they do every year to save money and that, you know, the wrong guys get cut. You can pick some people up whatever from there. But, I mean, there's absolutely nothing, you know, really available at all. I have the best left tackle is Nate Solder, and he didn't even want to play really at all this year. And he may retire after the season, and he's not even that good to begin with as well.
Yeah, and I'm finally getting into it and quit. Yeah, and we're just looking completely at unrestricted free agents. If you look at it's, you know, none of these guys are going to be young. You got Greg Robinson's a bust, and he's going to be 26 next year. Chris Clark, Breno, none of these guys are good. So you can't look to free agency to help any position on the offensive line unless you think Greg Robinson can kick inside and be an effective guard. That might be possible, but that's going to be a heck of a gamble even on that. Otherwise, you're talking Andre Smith, Evan Smith at center. He's not going to adjust well. DJ Fluker's been a bust. none of these guys are going to help you next year. So looking at the team right now, I mean, I think realistically you're looking at Davenport at left tackle. I don't know what we do about Suofilo. I mean, there's no reason to extend him, but I don't know how we don't at the same time, you know? You're looking at Nick Martin at center. I think Mainz has earned the opportunity to start at one of the guard spots at least. Slade hasn't been terrible. You have to do something about Giacomini. You just have to. He is not only a horrible, horrible football player, but he racks at penalties and after the whistle as well. You have to do something about him. I think three of these guys minimum come back, and it depends on what we do with Suofilo. And Suofilo, by the way, is one of the worst ranked left guards by PFF. That's just how well thought of he is.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Suofilo's had the same problems, you know, his entire career, where you know he's gotten stronger, so he's good at the first level, but when he whiffs really bad in pass protection, and he doesn't use his hands well, so he doesn't strike the chest and hold on. He always shoves at the second level. He never hold, you know, he doesn't make blocks at the second level at all. He just kind of runs with the guys, and he doesn't block as much as he should. And you know, there's not really more to say like that over and over and over again with him. And he's like 4/5 of the way there, but you know, he never can get that last fifth bit unless he either one, you know, learns how to, you know, learns how to read as far as that goes, or he gets better coaching problem. That'd be the other thing. He would go somewhere else to get better coaching probably. But yeah, I mean, I don't understand him at all. He's had such a weird career. But I don't think they're bringing him back. But I think it's going to be probably Mangs and Martin and then Julian Davenport at left tackle. And Davenport looked really good this game against TJ Watt. He was like, actually looked kind of strong. And with the entire summer, you know, this is the same, but he's just not the strongest guy right now. But if he gets the strength on him, I think he can be a good pass blocker to start left tackle in the NFL. And then whatever you can get from the run game would be, you know, good enough in that regard. Did you watch him at all in this game, kind of close?
I could tell when you asked the question in the pregame sheet that you really liked what you saw out of Davenport. I think you hit it. He really needs to hit the weights. I also think that he's still going to struggle. Not only is he going to struggle with you know, the bull rushes, I think he's struggling a little bit too with even speed rushes. He's got a long way to go. I think just the learning curve alone to play left tackle in the NFL is going to be pretty large for him. I think he's struggling with it. I see his upside as being a very solid right tackle. I don't see him as a left tackle, but with good coaching and with making sweet love to the strength room on a daily basis, I think would help him tremendously.
Yeah. I see him as left just because he's a really natural kick slider. He has really long arms. And, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be that good of a run blocker. And so, you know, if you're above average pass blocker, left tackle, whatever you get on the run game is good enough. And, I think it is going to take some time, you know, this year. And I never really expected anything at all from him this year, especially watching the preseason. But there's such a huge difference between the NFL and Bucknell. And I think he's starting to get it. I think he had, you know, a really nice game against Watt, but again, the biggest thing is just going to be getting strong enough to be able to play that position. And whenever you make contact, you know, you kind of end any sort of movement right there at that point.
Yeah, I agree. He's an interesting guy. I think if you were saying, hey, do we possibly have the left tackle of the future on this team? I think the answer is yes, we might. Don't know if he's, you know, he's not there just yet, but at least there's something to build off of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I liked him a lot, too, after they drafted him. I thought, I was like, yeah, this guy can really move, you know, really well. Watching his grainy, you know, found footage video from Bucknell. And, yeah, it's kind of funny, too, because he was blocking guys who were like, looked like 5'10", 165. They're probably bigger than that, but they're just so much smaller than him. And he was kind of slinging around the run game and stuff. But anybody about close to his size, it wasn't the same way. But, yeah, I mean, I hope the best for him. He's kind of – he's interesting and as a mid-round pick, you know, it's always awesome those guys kind of come together. And there's a lot of things, a lot more work that has to go to making him a good player compared to somebody like, you know, Bowles in Denver, Ramczyk in New Orleans, who are, you know, more highly touted first-round picks who are already, you know, more put together.
Yeah. I think it's a great point.
All right, so let's play this what else we liked here. We don't want to be, you know, too negative. We kind of go negative then happy and kind of do that throughout the show. I like the Hopkins catch. It was the only highlight from, you know, Texas regard. Well, like, you know, this game starts off and Hopkins is open. You know, the Pittsburgh doesn't have a very good secondary. Their secondary is masked by their front seven, and you know they're all guys who can blitz pretty well too. And you know, Hopkins is getting open and Yates is overthrowing him and just throwing these absolutely awful passes where like Hopkins is laying on the ground, gets up, and he's like motion things above his head and you know telling him this and that, and Yates, you know, just can't do it at all. And then so he overthrows him in the corner of the end zone. Hopkins reaches up with his right hand, tips the ball up in the air as he's coming down. He catches it with his left hand. Somehow, I still have no idea how he got both feet in bounds and then fell over Joe Hayden for the score. And that was with 12:30 left in the fourth quarter of the game, 27-0. And those were the only points the Texans scored the entire day. And then on the two-point conversion was great, too, because he runs that slant and gets open. And Yates just, like, rockets one above his head and doesn't come close to completion. Hopkins was just like, you know, whatever, man. You know, I can't do anything about that.
Yeah. It just goes to show you, I mean, the dude's leading the league in TD catches. I mean, it just goes to show you what an amazing wide receiver he is. There's nobody in at the NFL, and I just really am starting to have a hard time finding an equivalent historically about someone who gets his feet in bounds like he does. That was the big thing. The catch was great. Catch was amazing. Getting the feet in bounds was just truly off the charts. It's just it's a pleasure watching him week in, week out.
Mm-hmm. And I think I have to look at the numbers again, but I think he's like, what, six catches off the most receptions in the league. I think he's like 124 yards behind Antonio Brown for the most yards. So it's possible if he has a big week against the Colts with whoever the hell his quarterback is, that he could actually lead the league in touchdowns, catches, and yards all in one season.
Yeah, he's 155 behind Brown in yards, and he is he's got 96. Jarvis Landry has 103. That'll be hard to beat Jarvis Landry. Here's the big difference, though. Jarvis Landry has 895
like
yards in those 103.
Yeah.
Like 8.7 yards a catch, and DeAndre's is 14.4.
Yeah.
Which is pretty hilarious.
Yeah. I had Landry's had just like such a silly, just like 7-yard catch season over and over again.
Yeah. It's pretty pathetic.
Yeah. So what did I like about this game? Name me something. Let's hear what you like.
What did I like? I got to be honest. This was a miserable game to watch. There just wasn't much to watch. The only thing that was kind of fun was watching the running game, and so I thought it would segue us into that question as well. I was watching the running game be somewhat successful, watching Alfred Blue actually make a couple people miss here and there. That was kind of funny in an LOL kind of way. But this game was exactly what you would thought it would be when it wasn't pretty. So there wasn't much I liked. There just wasn't. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, say something nice about Dave Westenberry for me then.
Say that again. I didn't catch that.
I said some nice things about David Questenberry for me then.
David Questenberry play. Who really cares about anything else? Thank you for catching that too. The mere fact that he was out on the field after what he's had to battle through, man, the guy could have gone out there, ripped the ball out of T.J. Yates' hands and given it to T.J. Watt, and I still would have stood up and clapped.
Yeah. And it was cool, like, watching him play as a sixth offensive lineman, because that's a need for this team. You know, they were playing Kendall Lamb out there. And, like, you know, I understand the coaches have a hard job and talent evaluation is a hard thing, but, like, to run six offensive line as much as you did last year and be by far the worst team in the NFL to do it and have Kendall Lamb play 150 snaps and give up like 7 sacks in 150 snaps and then to go into 2017 and not only have him as your six offensive line but still left tackle and then put him as your six offensive lineman after you bench him and then stick with him is just it's unbelievably stupid. And I don't understand it at all. I never will. Why he ever played any snaps to begin with. And so, like, watching Questenberry play, like, you know, the sixth offensive lineman, like, he was covering up guys. He wasn't, you know, getting beat back real fast. He, he was creating stalemates on one-on-one blocks, which is all you're asking for on those blocks. And, you know, he played some football. Like, he's like a real sixth offensive lineman out there. So, I mean, that was really cool. It's embarrassing somebody, you know, competent compared to the incompetent position. A little bit of that, back where he's come back from. And to be a 6th round pick even and play NFL snap, you'd be somebody with cancer to come back and play. It'd be a 6th-round pick, have cancer, come back, and then keep working as long as he had to, as long as he did to play. Even when snapped, is pretty spectacular because, you know, I think for myself, like if I went through all that, I would say there's more important things than playing football. I'm gonna get healthy and do other things. But he stuck with it and he got to play, and yeah, he looked pretty good doing it.
Yeah, and you know, remember, he wasn't a bad at all prospect coming out of college. You know, he didn't know if he was going to be a guard or a tackle in the NFL level. Just showing mere competence was nice to see yesterday. But it's just, you got to love what the guy does. And I can guarantee you I was wearing my DQ t-shirt yesterday during the game just to root him on.
Yeah, and I guess your final shirt hasn't come in the mail yet, has it?
My final shirt hasn't come in the mail? Am I expecting something?
Your flannel shirt hasn't come in the mail yet, has it?
Oh, yeah, I haven't gotten my jacket. Yeah, I'm still waiting on my jacket from Ryan.
I should email him about that. Hold on to it until you say something to him.
I think that there's so much baby spit up on it, he's just embarrassed to send it to me. Plus, you know, Ryan's a big dude. And I've lost a lot of weight, so I don't know if I'm going to have to, like, go throw it in the washing machine and then dry it on, like, super hot to get it to even remotely fit me. Otherwise, it might, you know, kind of fit like a tent.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's baby spit up on that jacket also.
Oh, totally. Totally. That would be so Ryan.
call it baby spit up. Or you can also make things smaller. You can take it to the tailor, get slimmed down a little bit also. I know it's harder to make things bigger. You can always make them smaller, you know.
That's true. But what happens if you win it? Ah, never mind. It's not going to happen. It's just going to have a nice home here from now on.
Yeah, probably so. Well, I mean, I'm down to – I'm like 216 right now. I'm trying to get down to 205. So maybe I can fit into a small by that point. In the next 7 years until I finally win it. I like my squad, though. I like my squad. I also liked on the Hopkins touchdown catch. He did that snow angel thing, and there was that – he was flagged for it. I didn't understand why. You can do pretty much whatever you want after you score. And what happened was the Steelers got his flagged because Hopkins is laying on the ground, his eyes closed, making the snow angel, and the defensive back from the Steelers comes down and lays down right next to him. And Hopkins opens his eyes and sees him, gets immediately pissed off and pushes him off, and that's what the penalty for. And that just, you know, I cried. I laughed so hard whenever I saw that.
Wait, I thought the Steeler guy got the penalty.
The Steeler guy got the penalty, but the penalty came when the Steelers guy for laying down next to Hopkins, and he was
Look, I had no problem with that. I thought it was pretty daggum hilarious. I think Williams, the linebacker, that flopped down next to him and started doing that. I thought that was great. I was upset. That's not a penalty. Let the guys make a snow angel.
And that was one of the best things of the entire game, too. 100% worth it. You know, that was just so good. Because Hopkins had his eyes closed, too, had no idea what was next to him, and was immediately upset.
That's like the first case of coyote ugly we've seen on a football field.
The other thing I liked in this game was when TJ Yates got injured, I'm doing that rabbit ear thing, you know, he sees the safety or the slot corner come off the edge unblocked. He sees him. He doesn't go down all the way. He kind of like bends his back, but his knees don't touch the ground. Like he doesn't give himself up. And he takes his hit in a weird way and he gets hit in the side. And then he comes out of the game for a concussion evaluation, but he was never hit in the head at all. He was hit by, you know, a defensive back that really didn't hit him very hard. And like whenever he got hit, he just, you know, went to his knees and that was in the play. And at that point, he was thrown for negative net passing yards. So my theory here is that Yates just did not want to play football anymore. He was having an awful game. He wanted the younger guy to have a shot. He didn't want to be there. It was Christmas Day. You know, the team is, what, 4-10 at that point. You know, nothing matters at all. And I think he came out on his own accord just because he didn't want to play anymore. And then it wasn't until Heinicke got injured with the actual concussion that he was actually forced to come back out there and play again. But I don't think he wanted to be out there at all whatsoever anymore.
Well, he didn't want to come out, but I don't know. I'm glad they took him out. It did look like it was kind of just a weird collision, and I could see especially for the whole Tom Savage thing a couple of weeks ago, I could see them being extra careful about the concussion protocol and making that work. So I had no problem with it, but you know what? If your speculation is that T.J. Yates was just done with football for the day, I'm totally buying that.
I think so. I really do. Because, you know, I don't think there was any way that it's actually you hit hard enough to come out. He was playing so bad. The other thing I liked in this game is Martavis Bryant had this catch where it was like a 3rd-and-7, like simple in route that he caught. And McKinney hit him, and then the safety hit him. And he was one of the few people I've ever seen actually get extra yards and fall forward after McKinney makes contact with them. And so he kind of spun to the outside and used his really long arm to stretch for the first down and convert that third down. And you just never see that against, you know, McKinney whatsoever. And it also makes me really excited for, you know, this potential, you know, Pats Steelers AFC Championship, because if, you know, Smith-Schuster is doing what he's doing and Brian's playing like he's playing right now, and the Antonio Brown's in the mix, and hopefully, you know, he can get healthy enough. The Patriots don't have the cornerbacks to cover those three guys. And so I think we can actually have like a really great, you know, playoff game between those two teams, which is something that, you know, we've never had. The Patriots just destroy them every single time.
Yeah, that's true. And the other, you know, person in on that tackle to allow Bryant to make that first down was Zach Cunningham. So he got three guys on that tackle. So getting through McKinney was bad enough, but the, you know, that was just a baller play. Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun game because I think that's the inevitable matchup in the AFC final game. God, I'm blanking on the correct terminology. Sorry, all I've got, I'm really fighting allergies and I'm on a lot of drugs right now. So I think that's going to be a fun matchup because, yeah, if there's a team that can actually beat the Patriots, I think you're looking at the only one, the Steelers, and they kind of beat them last week.
Yeah. And I think the Jags can potentially upset both those teams just because they have a great pass defense. They can get to the passer. If they get up, it just really depends if they get to a lead at all. If they can get to any sort of lead and use their pass defense, they're on the ball, make the game shorter. You know, they have a shot. They can potentially do what the Broncos did to the Patriots in the 2015 AFC Championship game, where they, you know, hit Brady 30 times and sacked him 9 times, and, you know, all that. They don't have a pass rusher as good as Von Miller. They have interior rushing, and you can get to the quarterback quicker that way. And the Patriots have a left guard and a center that aren't that good at pass blocking. So then the Jags potentially upset either team, but the obvious team, you know, the team with the best opportunity to upset or usurp the Patriots is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, the big problem is that the Jaguars still have Blake Bortles at quarterback.
Yeah. Well, you know, you throw some throwing up crossing routes, you know, you break one tackle, you get some yards after the catch, and you go up, you know, 13, you know, 6. Hey, you know, who knows? So that's really key for them is getting a lead and minimizing Bortles as much as you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm so happy that Bortles has even gotten to this point where we can say this about him, where he's like, he's kind of like a dumber, bigger, you know, Alex Smith, which is, you know, very fun to say.
And then you look at the Smith out or the game Alex Smith had this weekend, where he's chucking the ball downfield at will. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's kind of angry right now. He gets really feisty this time of year.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, everybody saw the Chiefs defense stall because they quit pushing the ball down the field, and, you know, that's what happens. You have to turn around and start chunking it down the field to make up for it.
Yeah.
Got to stretch the field.
Yeah, for sure. And the last thing, like, I like Christmas, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, Christmas is fun this year. And I think my favorite thing about Christmas now is whenever it's during the week, and you wake up and you drive somewhere on like a Tuesday morning and there's no cars on the road at 9 o'clock. You know, I love that. That was my favorite thing, I think, about Christmas this year. You just wake up Monday at like, you know, 8 o'clock, driving to the folks' house and the entire street's just being empty with nobody out there. And, you know, that doesn't happen on an 8 o'clock Monday morning for everybody in the entire, you know, country to just stop doing everything they're doing and have that happen. It's just kind of remarkable, you know.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm an artist, you know, that's how I see the world. Anything else on offense you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about, I want to quickly just talk about Kevin Johnson since you've got that as a bullet point. Or am I cheating? Did you want to wait and?
No, but well, I was saying on offense, we'll move into defense here in a second.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's move on to defense.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about these cornerbacks first. Kareem Jackson failed to turn a big Martavis Bryant catch, which is just, you know, Kareem Jackson. But to talk about Sufio, how he can't grab at the second level, like punch the chest and hold. stick on his blocks at the second level. Kareem Jackson just can't turn around and look for the ball. If only his defensive back coach was, you know, I don't know, the little girl from the Exorcist, he'd be a much better player. Jonathan Joseph was burned on Brian Ketch as well. He even struggled to cover Vance McDonald in this game at times, which is the saddest, you know, sentence to say. And Kevin Johnson gave up a touchdown catch to Justin Hunter. Now, this is that same skinny, long-legged, you know, Justin Hunter who looked like a frog in his shoulder pads. He played for the Titans in the Munchak and Vincent Hunt era, who was awful. I think he went to Baylor, too. He never did anything in Tennessee.
No, he's Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. But he went to University of Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he went to the University of Tennessee, played for the Titans, never did anything there. He's given plenty of snaps, plenty of opportunities. And he beat Kevin Johnson for a touchdown this game. Who had the worst game of the three?
Oh, they are. And see, and we have to throw – we got the PFF grades, and it said Andre Howell had a great game. And I'm looking at the touchdown he gave up and said, geez, he was smoked by 10 yards in a 15-yard route. Like, where's Andre
yeah.
Howell? You know? And PFF still gave him decent grades. It's like, man, that's he just smoked. So I think you have to go to Kevin Johnson. He has just been so consistently bad all year. He's now hurt again. It's just he is not the same guy we saw his rookie season. He is a far worse player than he was the first day he stepped on an NFL field. It's terrible to see. That would be my vote.
Yeah, I mean, if you're giving up a touchdown catch to Justin Hunter, like that's just I don't know. Like it's just so sad. Like he got beat twice by Hunter too. He got beat on the slant. And he was chasing to cover up that. And then Hunter turns back around, and then Johnson is just, like, running in place, trying to get back in front of him, gets beat on that. And, you know, Roethlisberger puts the ball in the right spot. But, I mean, I just couldn't believe it, you know. Like, when they said Hunter, I was like, who's that guy? And then Luke brought up in the thread. I said, oh, my gosh, it's that Justin Hunter. And I couldn't believe it. But, you know, all three guys had a bad game, and they're going to continue to have bad games until – I don't know, until football finally stops.
Yeah, all three of these, well, Kareem Jackson for sure. He should have been moved off the cornerback 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I've been saying it for several years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's almost too late. I don't even know if he can play safety at this point.
I think he could.
And then, yeah, he would play better with his face to the ball, Matt.
Yeah, and also like with Andre Howell, you have a guy who's you know really fast and quick, and he can cover – you know, from the center of the field to the sideline. And so Jackson's not having, unless you're, you know, as long as you're not playing a lot of cover two, if you're not, yeah, as long as you're not playing like a lot of cover two and cover four, which the Texans just love playing cover four for some reason, he can be, you know, an effective safety back there. And, you know, he's such a good tackler too, and he can cover tight ends pretty well. So, you know, I'm still here for Jackson as a safety. And I mean, if you're going to keep him on the roster, if you want to cut him and save $60 to go get other players, I'm fine with that also probably. But if you're going to keep him on the team, he has to play a different position because he can't start cornerback next year.
Yeah, and who are we going to sign to play cornerback to replace him? I mean, there's nobody out there. Well, there's Trumaine Johnson. Okay, somebody's going to pay him, I mean, I don't know, $19, $21
million? AJ Boye money.
Prince Amukamara, you know, Malcolm Butler has been a bust. This is not a good – there's not a lot of talent out there aside for Trumaine Johnson, who you're going to bring in if he's going to help day one. Hey, Bryce McCain's an unrestricted free agent.
The article that I'm going to have to write is just going through each team and looking at potential guys they can cut. You kind of come up with the idea of additional free agents are going to be available because that's really you know where the Texans are going to find their free agents this year. It's not going to be from the guys. There really isn't. It's really scant, you know, the pickings there. So that's going to be all about the guys. I don't know who that is right now, but it's something for Shaw to write when the tour's over.
Yeah, and you know, I think Jonathan Joseph's 34 next year, and I think he's done at this point.
Yeah.
I think he's done. He's lost his long speed. He's getting burned by tight ends. And he's not the first tight end to burn him this year. He was also struggling against, Travis Kelce. Who was it earlier this year he really struggled against? He had a lot of one-on-one matchups. I can't remember who it was now.
Yeah,
but so that's not the first tight end. Yeah. So it's, you know, there's a couple of guys here that just really have issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's the best free agent the Texans have ever signed. He was, you know, great. But time devours us all, you know. The other thing on defense, too, that happened is that Clowney went down with an injury. And this is the second straight week this has happened where he's down on the ground. He's hurt. He's rolling around. He comes up to the sideline. You're worried. He snapped a muscle. He ripped a tendon. And then he comes back in and starts playing again. You know, how horrified have you been every single time this happens where he's playing for nothing and, you know, he's down there on the ground and you have no idea what's upsetting him?
That's been terrifying because, you know, he's like the last man standing, right, at this point in time. So it's kind of been terrifying to see that. When he got hurt yesterday, it didn't look as bad. I was really, when he got hurt against a couple of weeks ago, that one was, you know, I was like, uh-oh, that looks really, really bad. And it turned out to be, what the heck is going on? Why is nothing working? Why aren't you working here? This is crazy. I can't even go to the – really? You're drunk. Go home. it's been really terrible to see what's been going on with that. But yesterday was more okay. Last game was icky because it looked like his – yeah, it looked like a much worse injury. It just – it looks like a weird stinger he's getting. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It scares me though every single time because he can't be hurt going into next year. We already had Nick Martin. You know, the entire team's built on IR. You mentioned Nick Martin. He had ankle surgery. It's finally been announced, and he should be back to play at the beginning of next year. None of these injuries are supposed to affect after. You know, everybody's supposed to be healthy by the time the season starts next year. But if you get injured now at all whatsoever, you can't. If you have like an ACL. You're not going to be ready for the start of next season. There's no reason to play Clowney at all anymore. You're really only because, A, he wants to play football, which is true, and, B, you want to give him some tackle numbers, which is also true. So, I don't know. I mean, he's going to play this week, but I'm not going to be – I'm going to be horrified the entire time it's happening.
Yeah, it was Delaney Walker, who Jonathan Joseph, by the way, struggled against.
Gotcha. Who's the guy who played for him?
Delaney Walker?
Yeah. Oh, Delaney Walker. They said Dominic Walkins. I don't know. But Walker beat him up. And that changed that entire game, too, because Tennessee couldn't move the ball at all because they run their head into the wall. And they go, oh, we can throw the ball downfield. We can throw the ball downfield to Walker, and he's going to be wide open every time. And that changed that entire game.
Could you imagine how much better that team would be if somebody knew how to use Marcus Mariota?
Scary. Well, like, run an offense that goes – that attacks the other's weaknesses. You know, because I think the meth mouth thing works fine for Mariota, but, like, because he can do it, and then you can also go spread, and you have such a huge time you can play in so many different ways by doing that because of his running ability. But, like, you have to – like, when you play the 49ers, you have to go quick spread passing attack. You know? You don't just run the ball up the middle over and over again. And they I'm not a Titans fan anymore. I talked about last week. But just – scheme to your opponent, and you have the talent, you have the quarterback, you can run this offense and do a lot of other things. And so do it. You beat the Buffs right now, and so they're going to blow out, which makes me, you know, just so happy. The Bills, too, they're going to lose the playoffs because they started Nate Peterman, which is going to allow the Chargers to get in as long as they win this Sunday, which is also just so beautiful, you know, that these stupid teams actually – there's repercussions for them being as dumb as they are.
That is still amazing. I just don't have no idea who could have ever had that thought that that would be a good idea. It's just so incredibly stupid. Hey, Peterson, you're in.
Yeah.
Peterson. Peterman.
Yeah, you know that they walked in the office Monday morning. He's like, all right, we're going to make a quarterback change. And Peterman, your star, is like, and deep inside, it's like, oh, no. And it's also a really good defense, too, you went up against. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, imagine being a Bills fan. You haven't made the playoffs once this decade or this century. You have a shot, like, it's all breaking perfectly to just win 9 games again, and that's what's going to, you know, completely ruin your chance to get in the postseason.
That's awesome. Too bad that's not, like, you know, Tennessee or having the same thing happen to them or the Colts or something. That'd be funny, too.
Yeah. Each team instead, you know, kind of ruin their year in different ways.
Right.
That's all I have for this game. Is there anything else that you want to mention at all?
No, this game was just straight terrible to watch. It was terrible. It was terrible to be a part of that game, and I'm sorry I watched it live.
Yeah, me too. I feel bad for my family because I was like, hey, can we put the Texans game on? Because I said I would take care of the threads for it. And I messed up one of them too. And so they're like, yeah, we'll do that. And they're like, the third quarter happens and they're down 34-6. And like, hey, why is this? My brother goes, why is this crap still on? They all kind of got numb and forgot that it was on, and subconsciously finally realized that he was wasting his life. And then only then we put on, the basketball game and watched that instead.
Wow. That's pretty depressing, man.
Yeah. I feel like I've ruined their Christmas in some ways.
Well, then that sounds nice at least.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a terrible game. So this week the Texans are playing the Colts. It's the last game of the season. And this is I don't believe in guilty pleasure anymore after I read a Chuck Klosterman essay. It's like, if you like things, don't feel guilty about them. If you like some trash things, it's fine. And he wrote about how he likes the Ashley Simpson show. This is where I'm liking your bad stuff. Own up to that you like it. You find entertainment and pleasure out of it. And so I'm not going to call this a guilty pleasure, but one of the things I do love about being a fan of the AFC South is this week, whenever you get two teams like the Colts and Texans, so the Colts are 3-12, the Texans are 4-11. They're playing for last place. This game doesn't matter at all. Nobody is going to watch the game. Nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to be playing in it, but they're forced to play, and it's going to be terrible, and it's going to be hilarious. It may actually be very entertaining. It's kind of like in 2013 when the Texans played the Titans week 17 to clinch the number one draft pick over Jacksonville, and then in addition to that, last place in the AFC, and also clinch a 14-game losing streak. This is kind of like a similar game to that as well. So I'm very excited for it. I'm excited for this last place divisional. Whoever loses ends up last place. And so I'm very excited for this one. It should be a lot of fun. It's one of the things that, I really enjoyed about you being an AFC South fan or games like this. So are you excited for Texas Colts 17?
Oh, my God. I'm ready for it to be over. I don't think I've ever looked forward to the end of the season like I have this season. I mean, at least I'm going to have some good – there should be some excellent playoff football this year. That'll be fun to watch. But this Texas team is just so bad in so many ways. It's just, I'm ready for it to end. This is not an NFL quality football team.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. And also thinking about what I was saying is I won those shirts that JJ Watt's mom had, except make a Titans, Colts, Texans, Jaguars shirt. You know what I mean? And be like, AFC lover, something like that. And mix all the logos up together. You know what I'm saying?
That burning thumbtack over Toro.
Yeah. You make the star, you take the Texans face and then you make the star like the Colts logo, and then you put a T through the center of it, and then you make the colors, the Jaguars or something like that. I don't know. But I definitely want a shirt of that though. And I make the back say AFC South lover, or the AFC South is for lovers, or I don't know, some along those lines,
The AFC South is for masochists.
Yeah, there you go. I need to email Pat as soon as this show's over and see what he can do.
Great idea.
Yeah. So my first question for you about this game is, do you think Jacoby Brissett is a starting NFL quarterback?
I think he is. I think he's a starting NFL quarterback for a pretty mediocre football team, depending on what talent you can get. To me, he's a poor man's Tyrod Taylor. He's not bad. He can make plays with his legs. He can make a few throws. He has a lot to learn still, but he has actually won a few games as an NFL starting quarterback. He is not good, but he's not bad. I mean, this ultimately his best role would be as backing up. I don't know. How about Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. And he reminds me of Brett Hundley, but a better arm. Right? They both are really great. They both have really great legs. They can break tackles really well. But Brissett has an actual NFL arm. And so with him, it's just more processing the game better, being more accurate with his throws. And also just playing behind a better offensive line will help him out greatly too. Where he's on the type of guy who can not say that he isn't, but I guess right now, he's not the guy who sees the rush and knows exactly where his check down is and can hit that quickly, or has the accuracy to throw guys open. So there's pressure. He has to break seven tackles and try to run for something or throw an interception. And I think if you give him their offensive line, he can be capable of that. But I think he's a much better version, probably.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's a backup. Put him in a better role. And I'd love to have him here next year. I don't know his contract status. I don't think he's available. But I'd love to have him in backup or Tyrod Taylor backing up Deshaun Watson. I think that'd be a great matchup of skill sets.
Yeah, so too. And then also, you have the guy who can run the same offense, just happens to Watson, where you can run the fake jet sweeps, the options, the quarterback reads, the draws, and then you can throw a play action off of. And he can also throw the ball downfield, so I think that'd be, a great possibility. But I do believe he was a rookie last year, so he has two more years left
two more
in
years.
Indianapolis. Yeah, so that's – I mean, they could also probably, maybe trade – Kareem Jackson form or something too. I don't know, but or a 6th-round pick or whatever. But I do think he's at least a backup quarterback in the NFL, and he's been fun to watch. I think Humley was kind of fun to watch too. Whenever he was scrambling and running for 15 yards, because it kind of looked like Aaron Rodgers in a way. And then you would watch him, completely airmail and throw an interception to a safety nobody around. It's like, oh yeah, Brett Humley's still the quarterback there.
Yeah, I really like Humley. I thought he was going to be good. He always had the tools. But he just never put it together from a football IQ standpoint.
Yeah, and he had a shot too, because this is also his last year, and so he's a free agent too. And this was a big opportunity for him, and he didn't do enough with it. And also, really makes you appreciate just how fantastic Rodgers is too. Who's gonna have more receiving yards in this game, DeAndre Hopkins or T.Y. Hilton?
I'm gonna have to go with T.Y. Hilton in this game because number one, he does it to the Texans anyway. Number two. The speed matchup of Hilton versus our entire secondary, kind of minus Hal, is just so grossly unfair. And he's a guy who can do so much with the ball after the catch that I will definitely be playing T.Y. Hilton in my last remaining fantasy league this week.
Are you going to win that one also?
I am 2-for-2 on championships so far. So this will be the third out of three championships this year for me.
Yeah, that makes me very happy for you. Not upset at all, makes me very happy for you. Yeah, I think Hilton has more yards too, just because he has a better quarterback. He's also going against a bad secondary, and he usually plays very well against the Texans. So if you're a Colts fan, if you're a Colts front office person, if you're a Colts player, would you consider the season a success for the Colts at all?
I think the first thing I'd have to consider is chugging turpentine. And I think second would be to swallow a match. Thereafter, there's no way you could call unless you're playing for 2018 and playing for those draft picks. There's no way you can call the season a success. I mean, you're supposed to get Andrew Luck back week one. He never showed up. You have to seriously question whether or not he's ever going to play NFL quarterback again. You just have to at this point. Like, what else? You can't assume that anymore. So no, there's no way. This team is a nightmare. It's run just as poorly from a front office standpoint as the Texans at this point. It's a talentless team. It's old. It's slow. There are the occasional pieces there. Drafting guys like Philip Dorsett when you already had T.Y. Hilton on your roster and no offensive line was stupid. So it's a poorly managed. It's a poorly coached team with a poorly ran team with a major hole at quarterback.
Yeah. See, that's the thing about it. It's a luck thing, but I think it's a success. After, it kind of realized the severity of Luck's shoulder. It's like once it came week six and you're, 1-5 or whatever, and the way the rest of the season played out, I would consider it a success from there because, one, you didn't throw Luck out there at all and risk him getting injured whatsoever. You had no, worries at all about that happening. He has a whole year to get healthy and hopefully he plays next year. You have a top five draft pick. You have, I believe, $110 million in cap space next year. All of your defensive free agents that you signed, Ball Sheard, Marcus Hunt, Damon Harrison, you drafted Malik Hooker in the first round. So all four of those guys are going to be starters on defense for the future. And all those selections made out. John Simon had a great year, too. So all those fringe signings that you made to flyers and guys, they worked out really well. Barcavius actually made some plays in Indy this year, which is strange to see. And maybe they decided to bring him back again. There's guys there on defense now after having this really old defense and a really bad defense. You now actually have players on it, and with the hooker there, you have like Earl Thomas who can't tackle nearly as well as him, and so offensively now a good quarterback. You still have Hilton. You should trade Frank Gore. You don't have an offensive line at all, but you at least have something. If there's luck, you can make everything easier if he comes back. So I do think that the defense is better off than it was, and it's going to be there's stuff there for next year. You didn't lose any luck. You have plenty of resources to improve immediately next season if luck comes back healthy. And really, like, the season's not a success because of the injury, but after week six, I would consider a success. Does that make any sense at all?
It does. And I can see your argument for that. It's just, Jabal Sheard is an okay guy, and he's had a really good year.
He's been great this year. He's had a great year.
So, do you expect that to be the trend, or is that the outlier? Because he wasn't that good in Cleveland. I mean, he was okay. So, I don't know. I still, if you're a Colt fan, I still wouldn't consider it a successful season. That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, because the entire team's luck and with that whole thing happening. But I think after you found the luck news, I don't think it's gone any better, unless, of course, Jacoby Brissett is just as good as Andrew Luck and leads the team to 9 wins, and then you trade him for a first-round pick or something like that. But it went well for him, and I think Chris Ballard knows what he's doing and that he's going to be a very good GM. And if Luck comes back healthy, you have so many resources, so many draft picks to make this team better quickly. And we all see how you can turn around teams in the NFL as well, too. So, I'm excited for the AFC next year. It's still on the way up,
Yeah, and that's a good point because, you have the new GM, and so I kind of short-circuited on that. I thought Ursay was still there, but he's gone. So, yeah, you definitely have a big improvement in that aspect. They needed it. Ursay was terrible. He was just miserable.
Yeah, and I love Pat McAfee's story about their old GM and how much he hated him, too. And also the really funny thing about Ballard is they had all those articles written by him, by like Peter King and the reporters in Indianapolis. And they're like, it's exactly what we need in India, a real laid-back football guy because he wears flip-flops. And they love the fact that he wears flip-flops. He's that, that work ethic, but with that laid-back vibe to a town like Indianapolis, which is just so lame and just kill me. And, I hate the Colts as a franchise. They ruin luck. Their colors are awful. That blue and white's so boring. They have the dullest fans. Indianapolis is also just such a – I've driven through there once before. I'd rather drive through Oklahoma than drive through Indiana again. There's nothing good about that team. There's nothing good about the state. From what I've seen, I hate the Colts, but, I really do like Andrew Luck, and I'm upset that they ruined him. And hopefully he comes back next year, shooting fire out of his eyes again.
nice visual there.
Yeah. So who's the better head coach, Bill O'Brien or Chuck Pagano?
I think they're both pretty terrible. I seriously wonder if Pagano's going to be there next year, and I seriously wonder if Bill O'Brien's going to be there next year, especially with the word that Bruce Arians is thinking about cheesing it out of Arizona. I could easily see him going back to Indianapolis. So they're both – it's a tie for suck.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Bill O'Brien's better than Pagano, but, hey, Pagano's won – he went to an AFC championship game, and that's more than Bill O'Brien's ever done, with probably a worse roster in some ways and overall. But whenever you have a quarterback like Luck, as good as he was his second year and third year, it makes things a lot easier too. But yeah, I mean, Pagano's be fired for sure. I think Arian said he's going to stay, or he said he hasn't said anything yet. He's going to reevaluate it after week 17. But if he stays, he stays. I really wouldn't want him in Houston at all, but he's an interesting coach, and he has his hat. He's like the only person I've ever seen pull off a Kegel hat before, and that's good enough for me,
That's a great point. I can't possibly beat that one.
Yeah, there's a dude at work who was wearing a Kegel hat the other day. I asked him, hey, are you an Arizona Cardinals fan? He's like, no, man, what do you mean? I said, never mind. He just walked away. He just left him confused.
Yeah, so, you were probably pretty sad, too, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, damn it. So is there anything else you want to talk about regarding this game? Do you have any other burning questions?
No. I'm so ready. And this game, it's just a miserable way to end the year against this team. At least we could have ended against the Steelers and gotten the butt whooping and then, hey, it's over, and we got the ending we deserve. Instead, we're going to have to watch this flop fest on Sunday. This is going to be a 3 hours and 15 minutes of, oh, my God, these teams are so bad.
Yeah, and you probably won't be able to get the game. I know I probably won't be able to here in San Antonio at all, but I won't be around for it. I'm going to watch the condensed version, though, and really love it. So, BFD, let's hear your prediction. Will the Texans, the 2017 Houston Texans, finish last place in the AFC South?
I don't care.
Damn.
Oh, no. I do think the Colts win this one just because that would be – this season has been, you know, go full Bill O'Brien, and I think just why not? We go full Bill O'Brien. T.Y. Hilton scores two or three touchdowns, and it's another game that is going to wind up something like 27-7, and it'll be not as close as it looks. So that's my prediction. DeAndre Hopkins with the touchdown, because that's what we do. We get a touchdown from DeAndre Hopkins. So why not keep that as a thing?
Thing, help another touchdown where he falls down, nobody touches him, gets up and scores.
I could see you are talking about for T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
Oh, I could totally see that as a thing.
That's like the only thing I want. I want that. I want a Jabal Sheard strip sack, and I want like two DeAndre Hopkins touchdowns.
Yeah, and Jack, I bet you Jack Doyle does things because we can't cover tight ends right now.
Yeah, and Doyle had a pretty good game last week too, against the Ravens as well. I mean, you know, they're pretty feisty against the Ravens, so I don't know. I have the Texans losing 20-14. I think Hopkins catches two touchdown passes. I think it's going to come down to like some last drive, and T.J. Yates, can't do it, and the Colts win, and the Texans finish last place in the AFC South, and all of Cleveland rejoices that they're going to get a top five pick for. Trading down last year, and then also get the 37th pick for paying off Brock Osweiler to come there as well too.
Yeah, just think about that. I mean, granted it's Cleveland, but just think about that. They're going to have all these high draft picks again. I mean, at some point they have to strike on somebody, right?
Yeah, and they have. They just haven't at the most important position. They have the best run defense in football, and also like I'm. Fine, you know, the Browns selections that they made. I'm fine with them trading back and kind of waiting until they took their quarterback to have a better situation set up and taking a chance on Kaiser and all that. But Hugh Jackson's a terrible head football coach. He's running an offense that doesn't match his personnel. Greg Williams, a terrible defensive coordinator. I think the issue there is coaching. It wasn't their front office at all. And so I can't believe Jackson's going to be one in, what is it? There's 16 games, 1-31 in two seasons, and get to coach football again next year. It's so incredibly dumb, you know.
Yeah, at this point, I have to agree. I did like Jackson coming out as a head coach, and you just can't like him anymore.
Yeah, and he was bad in Oakland too when he got a chance there, also.
Yeah, but sometimes it takes time to learn, but it just doesn't seem that he's learning.
And it's weird too, because like molding offense around Andy Dalton and turned Dalton to a top 10 quarterback briefly. And now all of a sudden he's the head coach and he can't, it's like he has too much on his plate, you know? And, but he's a good offensive coordinator and a lousy head coach.
Wow. That has a familiar ring to it. A head coach getting in over his head with too much to do and not being successful in either role. Wonder where else that would happen.
I wouldn't even call O'Brien a good offensive coordinator because good offensive coordinator year came with Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron, and just like a complete superhuman offense, you know. It's not the entirely same thing as turning Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, and Mohamed Sanu into the top 10 offense.
Right.
So, all right, well, I have Houston losing 2014. You got Houston losing 27-7. I'm all ready for this game. I can't wait to come back from West Texas on Monday on New Year's Day, eat some fajitas, star a new wife on – January 1st, and there's no better way to do it than watching this Texans-Colts game. So we had a few questions from UT to carry us on to the end of the show. The first one is, again, old videotape of Warner Brothers cartoons for Christmas. So it got me thinking, if you had staff an entire offense full of Looney Tunes characters, who would play which position and how many points would they score on our defense?
Well, I think clearly you got to put Tasmanian Devil at running back. So he would just go to school. Even though we stopped the run very well, but read her out, we're not as good as we were. But I'd say I think that's your first one. It seems to me that no, the rest of them would suck. I thought Goofy would have a good role, but I can't find a role for Goofy. Goofy seems more like one of our cornerbacks.
Goofy's not Looney Tunes though. Looney Tunes is like Bugs and Elmer,
oh,
that weird furry guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I got nothing. I'm tired. Don't feel well. Sorry.
Yeah.
Steve.
I mean, I think the biggest thing, I think you have to put Bugs at quarterback. You would have five Foghorn Leghorns at offensive line. But I think they're kind of soft. I think their pad level is a little too high. So I don't know actually how well, that one would work out. And then you probably put that cat can't play football, that skunk can't play football. You put the Tasmanian Devil at running back. You got that Martian. He's probably too small. Maybe you need your offensive coordinator. But I think as long as you have Bugs, you really doesn't matter what else you have on your team. It's kind of Deshaun Watson. Whoever, it doesn't matter who the other 10 guys are. If you got Bugs at quarterback, you're going to feel a good offense.
Yeah, because he kind of brings that team together. Just with the smack talk alone.
Yeah, I agree with that. We also have here, how can we convince drug enthusiast Jim Irsay to keep Chuck Pagano around? And I listened to some Pat McAfee thing he was talking about whenever he got in trouble for driving his car drunk and getting arrested. Or no, he didn't drive his car drunk when he found someone at some river in the middle of nowhere drunk at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I remember that.
Irsay was like, he became friends and pals with him after that happened. So it's like Irsay gravitates towards guys who makes mistakes, who get way too intoxicated in bad decisions. And as long as they learn from their mistakes, they become pals. So the way to keep Chuck Pagano around is you have to fill his entire car with, cocaine, drive across the Mexico border, try to drive back with it and have him get caught, and then have Irsay pay off the cops to keep Pagano from going to jail, and then have him coach the 2017 season. That's what you have to do. You have to get Pagano in trouble for being intoxicated or you're selling drugs in some shape or form.
That's great.
Yeah, that's how you have to do it. But that's all he got here. He says that Indiana is more redeemable than Oklahoma, which for the purpose of the Indianapolis Colts, I disagree. And also his NCAA college football pool is a lot of fun, and I'm very excited to play again this year. And no, he's holding a gun to my head when he say that.
That's great.
So, anyways, that's all I got for tonight. Thank you for being on TV. Thank you, everybody, for listening live. You have listened live. We will be back on next Tuesday, live at 7 p.m. Central, where we will discuss Week 17, the Texans-Colts game. And it may be a little short on that because we have the NFL playoffs and we have the divisional round, the wild card round, I should say, and it's going to be a lot of fun next weekend. And we can preview those a little bit and make some picks. Have a good time because it's the last good thing of winter is the NFL playoffs. And then you're just kind of cold for 5 more weeks. You get to see the sun again, take your shirt off. So I'm very excited for next week. It should be a lot of fun. I won't be around this weekend, but I'll be there in spirit. So anyways, thank you for being on tonight, BFG. Thank you for listening live, everybody. I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Valred Radio.
Ooh.
I thought it was pretty good.